Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
This is Gary Brumberg on 101.9 High FM. I'm chatting now to Wynand Engelbrecht, Fire Chief, Fire Ops SA. Good afternoon, Wynand.
Hello, Gary.
How are you this afternoon?
Brilliant, man. Thank you.
I like brilliant. I can do with brilliant. Wynand, as we head into winter and load shedding is also upon us, or hopefully it won't be for long, how do we prevent house fires? How do we behave when a fire starts breaking out? What do we do? We need to understand what fire extinguishers, what the law is. We've had an incident, a blaze that broke out in an area of a rural settlement very close to Kwame Mae, and it's destroyed 400 structures, and we know that fire spreads very quickly. So we really need information from you at this time of year. What do we do with pending fires?
The informal structures that burned down on Saturday night in Jeffreystown has a challenge in that informal settlements are not subject to the national building regulations.
Right.
And so, well, that's just a political play ball, and it's been for the last 30 years. And so there's no spacing between these units, and so fire spreads quite easily and devours what comes in front of it. And so when you ask about winter fires, it's mostly either gas or paraffin issues. And then with electrical breakdowns or issues that Eskom has, it happens that people actually were busy ironing or had a stove cooking and then a power went out for load shedding. And they leave their homes and they go to the takeaway shop, and when they come back, there's a problem.
Right.
Because the power has now come on in the meantime. So I've summarized a couple of issues quickly there, so let me just give you more detail.
Yes.
I think we need to move beyond what the law requires in our homes. The law doesn't require a fire extinguisher or a smoke detector, for instance. I think we ought to look at that and say these are relatively simple things to afford and relatively affordable. So having fire detectors in the house is a good, brilliant idea. Having a smallish fire extinguisher, dry powder type in your home is a good idea. But having an escape route and having practiced that, that's the better idea.
Right.
So taking on a fire is never easy. And if you're not successful with the first fire extinguisher, then turn your back on the thing and get out of the house and shut the front door. And shutting the front door is of great importance so that we don't compromise the fire flow, and that can be maintained. And so that's the best chance we're giving the arriving firefighters to actually win the fire.
So try and maintain the fire. So in other words, close the doors and try and maintain it, you reckon?
Yeah, just close the doors behind you and don't go back into the house and don't break windows. We prefer to have a fire compartmentalized, as we call it, and so we really prefer that the fire remains in the room of origin. And if that can be done, then we can take it out. The moment the fire starts spreading laterally, it soon finds its way into the ceiling void as well, and then we have, by virtue, almost lost the fire already. And so security officers love arriving on scenes and opening front doors and storming into the house and breaking windows. And that should be in their syllabus again to teach them to not do that. Fire needs to be uncompromised.
Sure.
The room needs to be compartmentalized. And we teach people since they're young, since they're children, you know, don't open the door. The only exception is that when there's an actual real bomb threat in, say, an office block, then we advise that you first open your office window, and then go into the passage, and then you can leave all the doors and the windows open so that the impact can be absorbed. But that's the only time that we say that there's a change to this viewpoint. Only exception.
It's very interesting what you've been telling us. And, you know, we'd think it's common awareness, but I mean, in the event of a fire starting, I suppose one panics, and I should imagine a fire spreads extremely quickly. As you're saying, if it's a stove or gas or whatever, it's going to spread very, very quickly, and you must probably only have a few seconds to react.
Now you really have moments. It's not minutes, it's moments.
Yeah.
You can watch any number of clips on YouTube on fire spread, and you'll see the same thing. The pattern is almost always the same. And so what happens at nighttime when you're asleep and there's fire, the smoke actually kills you before you even know that there's a fire. And for this reason, by the time parents wake up or children wake up and then they wake their parents, it's already too late mostly. And so so that's why you need to have detectors in your home, you know, so that the detectors will pick up the smoke and make an alarm and at least give you a running chance to get your people out of the house. So it's a matter of practicing it, Gary. To say we've got a good plan doesn't really mean much unless and until the family actually make time and practice, and so that the children understand what it means to go out and which door or window to use to get out of this place. We're making it difficult on the little ones, you know.
I think, Bernard, you've raised such an interesting point. I mean, it's almost beneficial to do a safety drill and to almost regularly with your family or even office block, whatever. I mean, I know in offices, companies do the fire drills, but in a home, I mean, I wonder how many people actually do rehearse or practice a fire drill. I mean, what happens? You got to try and find your phone in this chaos to phone, you know, the fire department. That's the last thing you're going to do. You're going to be panicking, trying to get your kids out. It must be extremely stressful, that situation.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just had it today again. I often find this thing of conducting a drill, and companies would say, well, we two of the people there, senior people in the executive, decide today is going to be fire drill, and then they scream fire, fire, and then there's total chaos, and people make fools of themselves, and that's not the idea.
Sure.
The idea, and we even do it in our fire brigade. We practice something, and we practice it, and we practice it, and we practice, and then we drill it. So drill comes after a number of practices, and that's the way you deal with your family as well. You take the kids by the hand, you lead them down the passage, you discuss it with them, and only when you've practiced it five or six or seven times do you say, now we are going to actually have a drill unannounced. And if you do it that way in your company, it's much more sensible and actually is productive. Yep. Anything other than that is counterproductive nonsense. You can't just scream fire, fire in a factory or a building and then think people will know where the exits are. It doesn't work like that. People are actually attuned naturally to want to exit where they entered. And so where we've got the larger accumulation of people is in a retail shop, and there we never practice it with the public. We always practice it with staff. But if you've got 300 people in a major shop at a time, and 10 of them are youngsters who are going to run and try and hide between the clothing, then I doubt the wisdom of the drill that you call the drill, an evacuation drill. It's practicing and making sure that there's an understanding and an insight before you drill it. Drill is the final, in the final analysis, that's what's done. It's drilling. It's practicing, man. Yeah. It's trying it over and over. Yeah.
You've raised such an interesting point, Vaynant, the shopping centers. And I mean, if there's a fire that breaks out within a store, it's not going to just be the staff that are impacted. It's going to be the people in the store. It's going to be the people in the center. And I wonder how often these big shopping malls do actually have a fire drill, you know, and drill to practice this.
Yeah. There's the misconception that you've got to evacuate the entire shopping mall down. But that's not true. You've got to evacuate the areas that are neighboring on the fire. And the same with a high-rise office building, for instance. You don't have to evacuate 10 floors and take everybody down to the street level and then they're going to be safe. That's not true. You have to evacuate the office that's on fire. Then the floor that's on fire.
Just that floor.
Then the floor over the fire floor. Then the floor under the fire floor. And then Once you've taken people into the stairwell, they're already safe. It's a two-hour fire-safe capsule that they've moved in if they've gone into the fire stairwell.
Yeah.
And so breaking your leg to get out of the building is just not necessary. You know, so the approaches are different for a
Absolutely.
House and a household.
And as well and as a shopping center.
And other buildings, yeah, yes. You know, commercial buildings and industrial buildings.
Unfortunately, Vaynant, we have run out of time, and this has been such a beneficial discussion. I have benefited from this, and I'm sure all our listeners. And Vaynant Engelbrecht, Fire Chief at Fire Ops SA, thank you for that very informative session.